So welcome to Adelaide Chronicles. In keeping with the times, and also in keeping with the fact that you're a long way away from where I am, we're doing this interview mobile to mobile, and that does have some impact on the quality of sound, but it won't have any impact on what's being said. So would you like to just give a little bit of an introduction of yourself and where you live and why you live there?
Sure. Well, my name is John Hartley. I'm a Lubriwala Yalanji man. I live up in far north Queensland in my grandmother's country of Mossman. I actually live at a place we call Guyulguyul, and I live there with my mother, who I'm also a carer for.
What does that name mean? Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds gorgeous.
Well, there's plenty of fish, but there's also plenty of crocodiles too.
Oh. That sounds not so gorgeous. But language is a really important thing, isn't it? And it's interesting to start this conversation that way, because we did a little bit of a recording some time ago on the importance of language. And we talked to quite a few people. And you more or less led that conversation, John.
Mm. Well, for Aboriginal people anyway in this country, language is vitally important. You know, it's it contains not only a way of life, but our way of being. A way of expressing and interpreting who we are and where we are. So it's vitally important, you know. And I think language, of course, was one of the first things to be, that was attempted to be eradicated, you know. Up here in my mother's country, people weren't allowed to talk their own language, you know. Under threat, you know, of being sent away and or of violence, you know, language wasn't permitted, you know, and it had to be spoken quietly in the night, you know, around the table for the language to continue, because our language, while it's severely under threat, it still survived, you know. The attempted decimation of our people, the Guyalaji people, you know. Yeah. So language is vitally important. I think because we get stuck in a colonised way of thinking, you know.
Yeah.
The language gives us another way of relating to our country and each other and ourselves, for that matter.
It's one of the worst tools of colonisation.
Oh, yes. It's certainly the effect of colonisation. I mean, other than mass murder, of course. But yes, when people were picked up and taken away, speaking their full language and placed into dormitory, religious internment camps, then English became the dominant language, you know. Yeah.
And was it an act of resistance, the people still speaking language to each other at night?
Somewhat defiance to do that, you know, to go against the members of the mission, you know, the mission heads and the authorities, you know. I mean, because it was no small thing, you know, under the threat of having your child taken away from you, you know. So, yes, you would say it was an act of resistance, an act of courage by our elders who always held, you know, to their language, you know, because the language, of course, is a natural thing, you know, before the English word came into our communities and societies. So, but yes, it was obviously seen as very important to some of our elders to ensure that the language continued, you know, because without the without the language, it's very hard to know who you are and how to relate to your country, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw a bit on ABC TV about learning about kids learning language in schools up where you live, and I know that you've been really passionate about that for some years, and having been part of a whole movement that achieved this is amazing. It's such a good thing.
Well, yes, and my role was very, very small. You know, it's been the participation of our elders and the fire of the younger generation that actually has seen our language now being introduced, not in the school an elected subject, but actually embedded within the curriculum of the school, and that came about through developing relationships with the school and various teachers within the school, and importantly having the structures, you know, correct structures put in place, that is, that the elders had the overarching authority in regards to language, its uses, its spelling, its, you know, pronunciation and all the rest of it, you know. And I think we've been, the Gugulyanji Language Advisory Group has been going for just over 2 years now. And in that 2 years, several awards actually. So, and some, you know, both state and local awards. So that's pretty good. Because it wasn't a matter of just being able to put the language in the school, but also our language, of course, contains values and beliefs and a way of being in the world with unique worldviews, and it's all encased in our language, you know. So, and that was grasped and taken on board by the school, and it's now being, as I said, embedded in the curriculum, and it's being taught to the younger generations currently, and that's having a great impact upon the well-being and the sense of self of all those children who are learning the language. And it's not only the local Bama, meaning Aboriginal people, but it's also the non-Aboriginal people, children participating and learning our language. And to the point where the school has had parents inquiring about sending their children there, specifically because they do teach our language there, and they want their children to learn language. These are non-Aboriginal people, you know, and that's a healthy thing, you know.
Oh,
it's healthy. It's healthy for Bama. It's healthy for the Aboriginal people. It's healthy for the community, you know. Yeah, and the last 2 years has been, you know, we have regular meetings at the school, but we're now centering the program back into the community. What I mean by that is that we've recently acquired a space where we can have an office and a place to teach language within the community for Bummer, you know, for the local Aboriginal people. So it can start to further expand and proliferate out into the community, you know. And we think it's important that we centre our language back into community, you know, because that's, we want all our people speaking our language, you know. So, but, you know, we were just commencing classes, community classes, just before the virus struck, and so, but now, of course, that's on hold until the virus passes, you know.
Yes. Are there young people there that are fluent in that language?
Well, I think more so north, there would be younger people that are somewhat fluent, yeah. But there are a number of older people still fluent. The teachers at the school are fluent speakers, you know.
Are they?
I think that's important. Well, they're Aboriginal people that are teaching it, you know. Yeah, it's taught by local Bama, you know, language speakers. So, they've maintained the language and they speak it daily, you know. So,
That's, I reckon, the best news story I've heard in 2020.
Really?
Oh, yes.
It's a surprise, the importance that Bummer hold language in. I think we always knew that the impact it would have, particularly on our younger generations and children. But the impact that it's having across the community was not something that was expected. It's definitely having a very positive impact on those young school students. And remember, Sue, in my mother's day, she went to the same school. It was forbidden for her or any Bummer to talk their language or speak their language in the school. Yeah. And so to see it being returned into that very same school, and not only returned but be embedded in the curriculum, you know.
It is. It's just wonderful.
It's a good thing, I think, you know.
And it's obviously taken a lot of work from a lot of people to pull that together.
Oh yes, yeah. Well, you know, as I say, the elders, the younger people, you know, and the school, you know, the principal and the teachers, you know, involved. It took, you know, a number of meetings and sitting down and talking, coming to an understanding, you know, and a recognition of the past, you know.
Yeah.
And an acknowledgement on the importance of our Wubu or our language, a commitment to change, you know. And I guess being able to listen to each other and respect each other is the foundation the glue that brings it together. You know, that's being able to work together. But the driving and the passion belongs. You have to have the elders there because the elders can see over the mountain, you know.
Yes.
And you have to have the young people there because they've got this fire in their belly to walk the mountain, you know. So, and that's what we have, you know. So, you're right. It takes a number of people that are committed to that, you know. And I'm passionately committed to ensuring their language goes on.
This is a way forward.
You know, we never. The language group never sought awards or things like that, or to be picked out. But I think because of that and the impact that it's had, as I said, not only on the school community, across cultures, but in the broader community as well, and that's been recognised, you know, through a number of awards, you know. I guess people see that these things can be done, you know.
A clip from the ABC that I can perhaps share as well.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of interest from other schools and other communities, you know, tribes up around here, coming down to visit and looking at, visiting our meetings, but also visiting the classrooms and looking at the structures and how it's been presented, you know, the methodology and how it's been imparted within the school environment. And there's also been apps you can download on your phone. First People's First developed a book and an app as well that people could download in Google Yanaji, you know. So, and the school has developed, along with community members, an app that you can download on your phones, and, you know.
That's pretty mainstream. I love it.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I don't know, but I wouldn't. I don't think I'm too far off the mark when I say that wherever there's a space for our language, we should fill it.
Yes.
You know, whether that's in a school, because of the severe threat, you know, if we're going to get our languages to a point of stability, then we should look at all avenues that will contribute towards that, you know, across media platforms, you know, across, embed them within the schools, and wherever we can, wherever there is a space for, you know, our language, then we'll put it there, you know.
But
I don't think you can have too many resources.
No, and you have to go with technology.
Well, they can be handy, you know, but the idea of, you know, they're handy if you're on a bus or you're waiting for a doctor, you can go through your app on your phone. You can be learning your language and that as you, you know, in your everyday life. But I think the idea of centering our language back into community is that it's not just learned within four walls. You have to also be in country where the language has relevance, you know, where the trees are, the bush foods are, where their stories, you know, the song lines are, and all those kinds of things, you know. So I think that's the point. It's good to have it in schools, in the curriculum. It's good to have all the technology. Sitting in country, learning from, you know, your elders, and where the story places are and what have you. I think that's the core of it. You know, that's where we need to get to, you know.
Thank you so much, John. It's just wonderful. I can't think of another word to use. And when I saw that clip on, that short bit on TV, well, it's heartwarming.
Ah, thank you. Mm. Thank you.
Mm. Yes. It was sure. Really good.
I don't know if you've seen the other video of when we actually launched the program, but if I find a copy or a link, I'll send you that as well.
Oh, do. Yes, please.
That was quite good too, you know. Yeah. I think that's important. You have to you have to take the community along with you, eh?
Yeah, but also you can show other groups that this can be done.
Well, it can be done, and that's, I mean, you know, and I think the importance of the technology and the apps, you know, like I said, we were just about to launch our community-centered language program, but due to the virus and the restrictions of our movements, then we can still, now because of the technology, we still have those apps available, we still have the dictionaries available to us, and we still have a lot of the online stuff that we can access, so we can still continue to learn and take the opportunity, perhaps to focus more so on learning our language until this virus passes, you know.
Exactly. That's something that people can do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And listening to this will be something that perhaps people can do while they're being isolated or distanced, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, like I said, I must be a pretty sad person socially because I don't find any difference in my daily routine, you know. But I see it as more, I'm in retreat, so I'm focusing on things that, you know, because we live in a very sort of hustle and bustle world, we don't often get back to the things that are always important. So I'm looking at being in a retreat where I can really focus on you know, in my language, you know.
Yeah.
And things like that. So I'm making it a healthy period, you know. I don't look at it negatively.
I think that's really good advice. And it's sort of like medicine.
Well, yes, exactly so.
Mm.
And that's true, yeah.
Was there anything more that you wanted to add?
Just again, to reiterate, you know, the importance, you know, your language. I mean, all languages the world over are important, of course, you know. But I think for our mobs here in this continent, our language plays a very central and vital role in the decolonisation process, you know.
Yeah.
That is getting back to our core values, beliefs and practices as you know, Bama or First Nations people, you know, as human beings of this continent, you know. So I would encourage, and if even if you only have you know, three or four words currently, then that's enough to start you on your way, you know.
Mm.
And maybe if you can't find all your language, maybe your neighbouring clan or your neighbouring tribe may hold some of your language as well, you know. But I think once you start to learn your language, then the way we look at each other, the way we look at the earth, the way we relate to each other, the way we relate back to our Mother Earth is very, very important, and encoded and embedded and held within our language, you know.
So, would you like to sign off from this interview?
Yeah, go water, you got it, yeah. Mayo, Kubi water, Yanadi Dinga, Juman Dadju, Yo. So I'm just saying that my name is Gunnarja of Gubbidiwara Yalanji Mean. See you later, or see you again.
Lovely. We'll definitely see you again.
Yes.
No, that's really, really good. Thank you.